This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Let's continue our conversation on design and inclusion. Barriers for people with disabilities can be found in a lot of places, and many companies and organizations will tout themselves as accessible, but what does that really mean? Are they just incorporating elements of accessibility, or are they actually meeting accessibility standards? Kelly Braun Johnson is a workplace accessibility specialist, and Kelly is also the founder of Completely Inclusive. Hey, good morning, Kelly. Thank you for making time for us once again.
Hi, good morning, Dave.
So let's start with a couple of examples. What are a few examples of a space being called accessible when perhaps they just have one or two accessibility features?
You know, this happens so often, you know, especially a wheelchair user might call a place and say, hey, is this place accessible? And they say, oh, yeah, it is. Of course, you can get right in the door. But then when they want to go and use the toilet, there's stairs to go downstairs. They can't get there. I've seen so many times when people say, oh, it's just one little step. It's okay. Just a little step. Or maybe somebody can carry you in. And it's so unfair. It's not, you know, these are not good examples of what true accessibility is. I have another example of my former university, where they suddenly slapped an accessible sign on one of their bathrooms. But what they did is they put in a grip bar, and that grip bar stopped the stall door from opening all the way. So my friend who was using that stall all the time because he knew he could get in, once they put that grip bar, he couldn't get his wheelchair in anymore. And so it said it was an accessible bathroom, but he could no longer use it. So they never consulted anybody, never took any measurements, and just kind of thought, if I put a picture up and say, or put a grab bar and say it's accessible, then it is.
So let's extrapolate a little bit on that and kind of think of the ways in which that can further impact somebody. What impact would that have on a person with a disability who might be seeking a job opportunity at a place like that?
You know, we really have to do our research. We have to, just because somebody says it's accessible doesn't mean it is. So the onus is on us to disclose if we want accommodations. We need to find out the specific features. We need to understand, you know, let's say, is it easy for us to book an interpreter for this interview? And who's going to pay for it? Is it going to come from the company or is that going to come from our pocket? You know, and remote work options that were very popular throughout the pandemic are now being taken away. It's making it very difficult as we say, you know, businesses are returning to normal, but a lot of those accessibility or those access rights or accommodations are being taken away.
Should we start thinking about perhaps a different term that indicates a partial accessibility?
You know, I think partial accessibility is almost more honest. You know, we've spoken before on the show. We spoke about not having a one size fits all, right? So we do have to kind of approach it with understanding people's unique needs. But businesses themselves can be specific about what accessibility features they have implemented and where they are in their journey and how far they have to go. I think it's perfectly honest if you say, look, we're working on our website right now. It's not 100%, but contact us if you have issues. You know, they should be leaving contact information. That's part of compliance to say, if you have user feedback, here's how we can improve. You know, at least saying that they have an open mind to this. But being honest, we don't expect perfection overnight, but we're looking for progress. So if we keep progress over perfection in this process, we're going to be a lot closer to getting where we need to be.
So along those lines, is it possible to make a space, an environment, a business totally accessible?
So this is one of the deeply held beliefs I have. I really, truly believe deep in my heart that it's possible to get really, really, really super close. I have an example. In 2019, I created Montreal's first completely accessible job fair. So as best as I could, I had a location where it was easily accessible. So it was easily accessible by public transport. All the doorways and elevators and everything were easily accessed for people with wheelchairs. I had sign language interpreters, everything down to the food to make sure that we didn't have high allergen foods included. And everybody who was, had different people, had neurodivergent people. We had sensory issues trying to be covered. But what was important is that I had businesses that were there that were also on board, willing to try something new that they hadn't thought of before. This is kind of an approach that they hadn't, come up with. And they were there to interview people on the spot. And I've been to other events myself where, they had all that plus Braille handouts in addition. So you can't please everyone, but you can get really, really close if you try to add in as many elements as you can.
Mm. I think that's a really wonderful example, and I think that's a perfect example of what people can do to be thinking about A to Z accommodation. But Kelly, here's a thought that I've been thinking about. What role do you think media and other communication outlets have to play in this? I've certainly noticed that various places will send out a press release touting all their accessibility upgrades, and then we see media outlets absolutely gobble it up and regurgitate that information as some gigantic accessibility win without necessarily the scrutiny as to whether or not the place is inclusive. I know that's more of a media question. I know that might be more of my business, but I'm curious if you have a thought on that.
So, media does have a responsibility to research the stories. I think that's a really basic thing. So they need to research and say, okay, is this really a story that needs championing right now? Or, maybe there's something more. Maybe let's try and get down to why this business is announcing this as, as a way to get attention kind of thing. So let's find out the story behind, find out why they're trying to do this. Because yes, like we said, progress over perfection, but not every single implementation needs a whole parade to celebrate it, right? So, but understanding that background and doing the research and to find out exactly what that business is doing and why, you still need a basic understanding of what accessibility really needs or what it really means, right? So I think another great example is the sign language glove. Have you seen this, Dave?
No, I haven't. I haven't seen it at all.
So it pops up like a bad meme every couple of years. Some university students in different parts of the world pop up with it, where the sign language user is supposed to put this electronic glove on that's supposed to interpret signs. Now it's only on one hand, and the deaf person is supposed to be the one walking around with this expensive piece of technology. And then this will interpret signs, apparently, for hearing people to then understand what the deaf person is signing. Now, the unfortunate thing with this, yes, it makes a huge media frenzy every time something like this pops up, but it shows a complete lack in how sign language works, because it's not just hand signs in one hand. And deaf people haven't asked for this. And the big question I always have is, so let's just say it worked and the person was able to get their point across. How do you communicate back to the deaf person? Certainly you're not going to talk to them. they're not going to hear you. So, the really easy answer here is, rather than putting this media attention on this piece of technology that's onerous and not asked for and not needed and not effective, people could just learn sign language. That would be a lot faster because it's a very one-way communication otherwise. So it's a good example, I think, of how the media can get really excited about things that look accessible or look innovative, and they're not quite hitting the mark.
Hey, Kelly, thank you for your perspective and your thoughts on this today. We're super appreciative.
Thanks so much.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.